RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can also listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz. Or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id.
Listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are, welcome to our English Bulletin program. In today's edition, we present you the news, commentary, Today in History, Focus, and News in Brief. We'll continue our program with Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany. Then we will end our program with Music Corner. That's our program for today. Now stand by with the news.
Voice of Indonesia with the news.
Here is the news read by Rahmana. First, the headlines. Indonesia to host international training on disaster. President Joko Widodo hopes inflation targets achieved through joint efforts. For global smartphone makers to open factories in Indonesia. Now the news in detail. The Directorate of Technical Cooperation of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in cooperation with Tsunami and Disaster Risk Mitigation Center, Aceh and United States Aid Agency USAID, Indonesia is holding international training on disaster risk management for IORM member countries, Southern America and Caribbean countries in Banda Aceh from May 25 until 4 of June 2015. Director of Technical Cooperation of the Minister of Foreign Affairs, Siti Nugraha Mauludia, to RRI World Service in Jakarta on Wednesday said that all types of natural disasters have a cure in Indonesia, so that the international participants of disaster risk management from various countries would like to learn from Indonesia.
All of disasters has happened in Indonesia. We have big tsunami, we have big volcanic eruption, and followed by earthquake, and we also have flooding here, as well as typhoon. And so, when there are a lot of developing countries who knows that we have capacity in facing these disasters, they want to learn from us how we mitigate this disaster. Mm-hmm. We try to decrease the casualties, the victims, be it in person or goods, in terms of this disaster. So this is what we are sharing actually to the participants who are now in Aceh.
Furthermore, Siti Nugraha explained that Indonesia is the capital city of disaster in the world because it has experienced the natural disaster on large scale, even became the biggest disaster in the world. So the participants from Indian Ocean Marine Association member countries, Caribbean and Southern American countries, which are the renowned fires country, are coming to Aceh to learn, to share the experiences, to face the various natural disasters. According to Siti Nugraha, during the training, the participants will be in the classroom and in the field to learn some related modules such as reviewing characteristics of coastal hazards, coastal disaster mitigation concepts, and the investigation of coastal community. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he hopes the inflation target set at 4% ± 1% for this year is achieved through efforts made jointly by various parties. He stated at a press conference after opening and leading the 6th National Coordination Meeting of Regional Inflation Control Team, TPID, the target of 4% ± 1% is achievable if joint efforts are made, including by regional governments. He added that most problems affecting inflation were connected with distribution, stock and prices of goods and services. The government will improve the system of trade of various commodities and create an auction market to ensure that prices reflect the real ones based on supply and demand. For global smartphone makers will operate their factories in Indonesia as the government plans to increase local industry content, take the end of smartphones. Ignatius Warsito, Director of the Electronics and Telematics of Directorate General of Technology-Based mainstay industries said in Jakarta recently. These vendors should begin manufacturing their smartphones in the first quarter of 2016 to abide by the Tech ID and regulation, which according to plans would take effect beginning 2017. Explaining on the Tech ID and regulation, Ignatius further said, three ministers are presently preparing a joint circular that would be completed in early June. This news is coming to you from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said the country's relations with Saudi Arabia were not only about migrant workers and Hajj pilgrimage, but transcends three areas according to Foreign Minister press statement. She made the statement at a press conference after meeting with her Saudi counterpart Adel bin Ahmed Al Jubeir in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia on Tuesday. During the meeting, the ministers highlighted cooperation opportunities between the two countries in Paris Bills and also discussed several strategy issues apart from manpower and the Hajj pilgrimage that have so far dominated the relations between the two nations. She remarked that as members of a G20 that are undergoing rapid growth, the two countries could mutually benefit by tapping into each other's areas of potential. In the field of infrastructure, massive development projects are now being undertaken by Saudi Arabia in Paris regions, thereby unveiling opportunities for Indonesian companies with expertise in the fields of toll, road construction, railway development, and building construction. Indonesian Traditional Fishermen Association, KNTI, claims that it still spots ships registered in China poaching in Indonesian waters. The KNTI Chairman for Strategy and Public Policy Analysis, Suhana, said during a press conference in Jakarta on Wednesday that KNTI continues to spot several China-registered vessels. It recognizes them from their 9-digit MMSI, Maritime Mobile Service Identity Codes, which function as identities for ships. The digital codes are sent through radio frequency channel. Suhana has urged all sides to take advantage of the free facility on the website which provide ACE satellite data. The last item, President Joko Widodo has been busy in conducting possession action for various ministers and agencies more recently. This is aimed at managing governance organization and structures. In regard to this, Commissioner of State Civil and Bureaucracy Commission, KASN, Nuraita Musaind, in the public discussion of Asian position in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said that in selecting new official for the governmental structure, KSN keeps being involved for 14 selection committee in which it is expected to create expert officials in his or her field.
Nah, KSN sendiri sejak dilantik itu sudah.
State Civil and Bureaucracy Commission, KASN, has conducted its duty since it was established to observe the process of selecting high-level position of officials. The authority of KASN seems different from another country, but the supervision is strong enough because the recommendation of state civil apparatus has increased. The supervision is in the selecting of selection committee because it must be one vision to create objective process. If the committee is not neutral and not competent, it is difficult to achieve objective selection. Therefore, the selection committee members must be agreed by KASN. Meanwhile, researcher of Indonesian Political Economy Association, Salamuddin Dain, said the auction officials, as you said, the action of officials can pose worries to both governmental employees and people. Therefore, he said the government must place honest and expert officials. The door should not be open for capitalists to breed the government and state. That's news from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listener, a commentary today entitled Tourism Promotion and Improvement of the National Economy. The tourism sector is one of the mainstays for economic progress in Indonesia. According to data of the Ministry of Culture and Tourism of Indonesia, apart from oil and gas sector, tourism is the country's fourth largest foreign exchange earner after palm oil, coal, and natural rubber. Indonesia is very fortunate to have exalted and beautiful beaches, historical places, diverse tradition and cultures, and friendly population. Unsurprisingly, many foreign tourists are attracted to have vacation in Indonesia, even to make Indonesia as their second country. Of course, the government of Indonesia does not want to miss the tourism potential owned by Indonesia to become a source of income and improve the economy of the country. Some of the steps taken to increase revenues in tourism are the promotion of Indonesian tourism to the various countries and through global media including Discovery, CNN, CCTV, Google, YouTube, and TripAdvisor. President Joko Widodo has also shown his commitment to significantly increasing the sum of budget. This is the first step in order to enhance the role of tourism in the national economy. The government's promise was expressed by Coordinating Minister of Marine Affairs, Indriono Susilo, and Minister of Tourism, Arif Yahya, at the first session of the National Seminar on Tourism taking place in Makassar, South Sulawesi, more recently. With the increase in the promotion fund, Minister of Tourism, Arif Yahya, ensures there will be an increase in number of foreign tourists to come to Indonesia. Last year, the number of foreign tourists reached 9 million people. This year, the target is 13 million people. In 2019, the target is 20 million foreign tourists to come to Indonesia. In the midst of falling prices and the fall not exports, tourism is expected to play a greater role in generating foreign exchange while contributing to the gross domestic product. However, the role of government in promoting the tourism potential of Indonesia will be in vain if it is not supported by the public, businesses and the authorities, especially those associated directly with the foreign tourists, including hotel management, tourism, and the community around tourism, which indirectly share in the economic improvement of tourism sector and officers on duty at the airport. Good services to the tourists are the main thing besides hospitality and honesty. Friendly attitude will make happy foreign tourists travel to Indonesia and want to come again. Possibly they will recommend Indonesia as a tourist destination worth visiting. Automatically it will increase the number of tourists who come on holiday to Indonesia and also improve the economy of Indonesia. Listener, that was commentary today read by Rahmana.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You're still with us, RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz, and 11785 kHz for English program. You can also listen to our broadcast on internet at en.voi.co.id.
Today in history. A compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Hello listener, meet again with me, Ani Hasana, in our regular Today in History over RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. We start from an event on May 28, 1964, when Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, was founded. The Palestine Liberation Organization, PLO, is an organization founded in 1964 with the purpose of the liberation of Palestine through armed struggle. It is recognized as the sole legitimate representative of the Palestinian people by over 100 states with which it holds diplomatic relations and has enjoyed observer status at the United Nations since 1974. The PLO was considered by the United States and Israel to be a terrorist organization until the Madrid Conference in 1991. In 1993, the PLO recognized Israel's right to exist in peace, accepted United Nations Security Council Resolutions 242 and 338, and rejected violence and terrorism. In response, Israel officially recognized the PLO as the representative of the Palestinian people. The resounding defeat of Syria, Jordan, and Egypt in the Six-Day War of 1967 destroyed the credibility of Arab states that had fought to be patrons for the Palestinian people and their nationalist cause. The war radicalized the Palestinians and significantly weakened Nasser's influence. The way was opened, particularly after the Battle of Karameh in March 1968, for Yasser Arafat to rise to power. He advocated guerrilla warfare and successfully sought to make the PLO a fully independent organization under the control of the Fedayeen organization. Under the control of the Fedayeen organizations, at the Palestinian National Congress meeting of 1969, Fatah gained control of the executive bodies of the PLO. Arafat was appointed PLO chairman at the Palestinian National Congress in Cairo on February 4, 1969. From then on, the executive committee was composed essentially of representatives of the various member organizations. And the next event was in 2008 when Nepal established to be Federal Multi-Party Representative Democratic Republic. Nepal, officially the Federal Democratic Republic of Nepal, is a landlocked country located in South Asia. Nepal is the world's 93rd largest country by land mass and the 44th. Nepal is the world's 93rd largest country by land mass and the 41st most populous country. It is located in the Himalayas and bordered to the north by the People's Republic of China and to the south, east, and west by the Republic of India. Nepal is separated from Bangladesh by the narrow Indian Siliguri corridor and from Bhutan by the Indian state of Sikkim. Kathmandu is the nation's capital and largest metropolis. A monarchy throughout most of its history, Nepal was ruled by the Shah dynasty of kings from 1768 when Prithvi Narayan Shah unified its many small kingdoms until 2008. A decade-long civil war involving the Communist Party of Nepal or Maoist, followed by weeks of mass protests by all major political parties, led to the 12-point agreement of November 22, 2005. The ensuing elections for the first Nepalese Constituent Assembly on May 28, 2008 overwhelmingly favored the abolition of the monarchy and the establishment of a federal multi-party representative democratic republic. Despite continuing political challenges, this framework remains in place, with the second Nepalese Constituent Assembly elected in 2013 in an effort to create a new constitution. And the last event was in 2011 when Helmi Yahya broke the Indonesian world record as the creator of 24-hour quiz, the longest quiz in Indonesia. The 24-hour quiz is an Indonesian quiz which was held for 24 hours non-stop. This quiz was presented by 12 Indonesian famous quiz masters. This quiz started on May 27, 2011 and ended on May 28, 2011. Helmi Yahya finally managed to break a record as the creator of 24-hour quiz, the longest quiz in Indonesia. And listener, that was Today in History.
Today in History, a compilation of several important events happened on this date in the past.
Focus, daily news and events.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, with today's focus entitled Government Encourages Employers to Increase the Quality of Products to Face ASEAN Economic Community 2015. Listener, to face the ASEAN Economic Community, or AEC, which will begin in late 2015, the Indonesian government has asked the employers to continuously and simultaneously create and improve the quality of the brand products. The product must be qualified due to strong competition when the ASEAN Economic Community takes effect. According to Muhammad Hadi Aji Susanto, an expert and a trainer from the Ministry of Trade Training Center, there will be 10 countries involved in the AEC 2015, namely Indonesia, Malaysia, Singapore, Thailand, Vietnam, Brunei Darussalam, Cambodia, the Philippines, Laos, and Myanmar, with a total population reaching 650 million people. Aji said they have the same market, free to import and export goods and services without tariffs, so that the competition is surely getting tighter. Therefore, Aji said local products should be protected with their strong brand identity. It means if the local products enter the markets of other countries without legitimate brands, then by the country concerned, they will be easily converted into products of their own and sell them to other markets. He said there have already been many national products, including small and medium enterprises, entering international markets without Indonesian brands. And on the other hand, there have also been a lot of imported goods in the country. So it has to be overcome. According to him, the brand is very important in trade arena among ASEAN members, since the tariff was reduced 98.08% to 0%. The absence of brand that signifies Indonesia might hamper trade to other countries in ASEAN. And he said there are many Indonesian products which are quite recognized. The government also continues to encourage the development of palm oil products, which is still only about 12 derived products from Malaysia, which reaches 20. Meanwhile, Head of Export Department of Foreign Trade of North Sumatra Industry and Trade, Fitra, said tariffs entrance has long been lowered so that employers should be more prepared to face the ASEAN economic community. He said the brand is necessary to anticipate to avoid Sumatra product to be claimed as foreign products and sold at higher prices. On the other hand, Chairman of Indonesian Chamber of Commerce's Standing Committee on International Relations Cooperation Institute, Maxi Gunawan, some time ago in Bandung said the Indonesian Chamber of Commerce, or KADIN, together with relevant government agencies are ready to protect local products in order to increase competition with imported products in the ASEAN Economic Community AEC 2015. One way to protect local products is to improve the quality. Maxi stated KADIN will also promote local products. In fact, according to Maxi, currently the quality of local products is less competitive and the price is higher than imported goods. So, according to Maxi, the government must find the main problem and find the solutions to it. KADIN, as a government partners, said Maxi, must take effort and play a role in formulating strategic policy to increase and prepare Indonesian economic players in facing the ASEAN economic community. Maxi worries if the government and the Chamber of Commerce do not find the solution, then the economy in Indonesia will decline. He expressly supported the economic policy of Joko Widodo and Yusuf Kala's administration to build and revitalize 1,000 traditional markets so as boosting the middle-lower people's economy. And listener, that was Focus.
Well, listener, now here is today's headlines of several national newspapers on May 28. I'm Dalat Pani. Kompas newspaper, in its headlines, writes, Corruption Eradication Commission KPK prone to discrimination. The selection of leadership of the Corruption Eradication Commission for the 2015-2019 period should be used as a momentum to strengthen the commission. During this time, the leadership of the anti-grab body is prone to be criminalized, among others, be used as a suspect and had to be switched off. Up to now, there are 5 of the KPK leaders ever and have been accused as suspects and have to be non-active. 3 of them are KPK's leaders for second period of 2007 to 2011, namely Antasari Ashar, Bibit, and Chandra Hamja, and Abraham Samad and Wijayanto, who are the third period of their anti-grab-the-body leaders. Besides interrupting, it can even paralyze the commission. The threat of criminalization is considered to be one of the causes of the people's hesitate to sign up into leadership of the commission. This is evident from the continued decline in the number of applicants after the anti-grab body leaderships were hit by problems. Tempo newspaper writes, President Jokowi suspects non-economic motives. Indonesian President Joko Widodo promised to trace the motive behind the circulation of rice containing synthetic plastic. From some inputs of rice experts, Jokowi is in doubt that the circulation of rice containing plastics motivated the profit motive. Logically, it is not acceptable because the plastic is more expensive than the price of rice, said Jokowi when he joined a car free-day event at Jalan Slamet Riyadi, Solo on yesterday. Jokowi said the most important thing is what the roots. He said the government was still awaiting results of laboratory testing and Drug Administration food and laboratories of Bogor Agriculture against suspected rice-containing plastics are found in Bekasi. Media Indonesia newspaper writes, Indonesia increasingly sexy for investment. In the midst of slowing economic growth, Indonesia's economy gets exciting news. Standard & Poor's, S&P, the international debt rating agency, changed the outlook for Indonesia's rating from stable to positive despite the debt rating remains at the level of BB+. The outlook increasingly makes Indonesia closer to obtain an increase in rating again within the next 12 months towards investment grade. S&P is the only agency that has not put Indonesia on investment grade position. S&P stated that improving prospects, among others, fueled by improved economic policy, making it more effective and easier to predict. S&P's rating shows an increase in international optimism over the outlook for Indonesia's economic performance. The improvement of the level proves that Indonesia is more attractive for investment. President Joko Widodo also believes the investment will continue to flow into Indonesia. He believes cooperation CSMI Media Group is one of the investment flows that will be followed by other investments. It signifies good Indonesian economy. We end headline today with the headlines of Republika. The newspaper writes, the circulation of plastic rice widespread. The circulation of plastic rice was not only in Bekasi, West Java, but also extends to other areas. Department of Industrial Trade and Cooperation of Kendari, Southeast Sulawesi, found indications of the circulation of fake rice. The discovery came after official team inspected a number of markets and supermarkets. Head of Domestic Trade of Disperindakkab Kendari, Ida Ruyanti, expressed example imported rice found in a supermarket in packs of 25 kilograms. White rice translucent and shiny, says Ida. Plastic rice was found in Gunung Kidul, Yogyakarta. Gunung Kidul region, Bang Badingah, instructs subordinates raided the traditional markets in order to anticipate the extent of the circulation of the plastic rice. Well, listener, that was the national newspaper headlines for today, Thursday, May 28.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Here news in brief, read by Rahmana. Directorate of Technical Cooperation of the Minister of Foreign Affairs in cooperation with Tsunami and Disaster Risk Mitigation Center. UNSIA Aceh and United States Aid Agency, USAID, Indonesia is holding the international training on disaster risk management for IORA member countries, Southern American and Caribbean countries in Banda Aceh from May 25 until June 4, 2015. Indonesian President Joko Widodo said in Jakarta on Wednesday that he hopes the inflation target set at 4±1% for this year is achieved through efforts made jointly by various parties. He stated at a press conference after opening and leading the 6th National Coordination Meeting of Regional Inflation Control Teams. The target of 4 plus minus 1% is achievable if joint efforts are made, including by regional governments. 4 global smartphone makers will operate their factories in Indonesia as the government plans to increase local industrial content of smartphones. Ignatius Warsito, the Director of Electronics and Telematics of the Directorate General of Technology Base, means the industry set in Jakarta recently. These vendors should begin manufacturing their smartphones in the first quarter of 2016 to abide by the TKD regulation, which according to plans would take effect beginning 2017. Indonesian Foreign Minister Retno Marsudi said that the country's relations with Saudi Arabia were not only about migrant workers and Hajj pilgrimage, but transcends these areas, according to Foreign Minister's press statement. She made the statement at a press conference after meeting her Saudi counterpart, Abdul bin Ahmed Al Jubair, in Jeddah, Saudi Arabia, on Tuesday. Indonesian Traditional Fishermen Association, KNTI, claims that it still spots ships registered in China poaching in Indonesian waters. KNTI Chairman for Strategy and Public Policy Analysis, Suhana, said during a press conference in Jakarta Wednesday that KNTI continues to spot several China-registered vessels. President Joko Widodo has been busy in conducting position auctions for various ministers and agencies more recently. This is aimed at managing government organizations and structures. In regard to this, Commissioner of State Civil Bureaucracy Commission, KSN, Nuraita Muhsin, in the public discussion of auction position in Jakarta on Wednesday afternoon, said that in selecting new official for governmental structure, KSN keeps being involved for 14 selection committee in which it is expected to create expert official in his or her field. That's news in brief from the Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta.
This is Indonesia. Here is Indonesia. This is Indonesia. You will be delighted to see the beauty of Indonesia for free by taking part in Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015. Answer the following questions. 1. When and where was the independence of Indonesia proclaimed? 2. Who read the proclamation text of Indonesia's independence on the radio for the first time? A. Yusuf Ronodipuro. B. Abdul Rahman Saleh. 3. When is RRI's anniversary? 4. Mention 3 tourism places in Indonesia that you want to visit and give the reasons. 5. How do you listen to RRI World Service programs and give the reasons? 6. What programs do you like most? 7. What are your suggestions for Voice of Indonesia's programs? 8. What is your opinion about the website of Voice of Indonesia? 9. Please write your opinion in brief about Indonesia in 500 words. Send your answer along with your brief bio data as well as copy of your passport or passport number and its expired date to voiquiz2015@gmail.com. voiquiz2015@gmail.com before August 11, 2015. You may be the lucky one to get the main prize, which is Coming to Indonesia. Wonderful Indonesia Quiz 2015 brought to you by RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, and supported by Indonesian Tourism Ministry.
Thank you for still listening to RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. Listeners, now here are our next programs, Indonesian Wonder and Miscellany.
Let's listen to various information of Indonesian arts and culture in a daily segment of Indonesian Wonder.
Hello, listener. It is a pleasure to meet you again on Indonesian Wonder, a daily segment featuring tourism, culinary, arts, and culture from various regions across Indonesia. In today's edition, we will invite you to travel to Rembang Regency, East Java Province. So, stay tuned. Lontong is a typical Indonesian food made of rice wrapped in a banana leaf, then boiled in water for several hours until it is cooked. The plain rice cake served with other foods such as satay, chicken curry, or curry goat. This culinary mostly found in various regions in Indonesia as an alternative food to substitute rice. It is not difficult to find this culinary all over Indonesia. However, each region has its specialty. For example, in Rembang, Central Java, Rembang Regency has special food named Lontong Tuyuhan. It is named Tuyuhan rice cake because it is originating from Tuyuhan village, Pancur sub-district Rembang Regency. The culinary consists of pieces of cake, and the side dishes is chicken smothered with gravy. Spices are needed to make the side dishes such as onion, garlic, ginger, nutmeg, coriander, kanchur, nutmeg, and turmeric. In order to get the special taste of the chicken, it is added with red chili and ginger, so much less pronounced spicy taste and savory flavors combined with thick coconut milk. As the aroma enhancer, adding bay leaves and lemongrass, then add coconut milk, salt, and the chicken. The recipe of Tuyuhan cake has been passed down to women from generation to generation in Tuyuhan village, so it is no wonder if the men cannot cook it. And initially, this Rembang's unique culinary was sold around the village. But as the increasing number of merchants or sellers who sell Tuyuhan rice cake, Rembang government then concentrated the sales of Tuyuhan rice cake in Tuyuhan Culinary Center. The location is on the side road which connects the Lasem City sub-district and the Sulang City sub-district right in the Tuyuhan village. In the Lontong Tuyuhan Culinary Center, there are at least 16 vendors which sell Lontong Tuyuhan. When buying Tuyuhan rice cakes, traders will usually offer a piece of curry chicken, which are using a specific terms like gending, sempol, stak, and rongkong. Gending is the upper thigh of chicken, sempol is the lower thigh, stak is the chest, and rongkong is the neck. The words which were born since several decades ago is now used by sellers when they order Tuyuhan cake. Therefore, you can order as you like. In addition, you can also order Tuyuhan rice cake with or without chicken broth. While enjoying this culinary, you will also enjoy the atmosphere of the location, which is so shady with the trees are pretty cool. The panorama of the rice fields and sugarcane fields as well as Mount Bugel in the east makes it a suitable place to take pictures. Well, listener, that was Indonesian Wonder for today with the topic Lontong Tuyuhan. We will meet again tomorrow with other interesting topics. Sampai jumpa and bye-bye.
Miscellany on Indonesia, a segment featuring various actual information.
Hello, listener, wherever you are, welcome back to Miscellany from RRI World Service Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta. In today's edition, we present you the Dutch colonialism on Java Island. In the national history in Indonesia, the coming of the Dutch is history which influences the life of the Indonesian nation the most. It is not only because of the long Dutch colonialism in Indonesia, but also the contribution of the Netherlands in the new culture as well as science and technology applied in Indonesia during the colonialism. The aim of the Netherlands to Indonesia was trading spice. Having successfully found the spice-producing area and big profit, the Netherlands tried to do spice trade monopoly and colonize. To achieve its aim, the Netherlands took several ways like establishing VOC and forming the Dutch East India's colonial government. The Dutch nation entourage led by Cornelis de Houtman and Peter Keyser went by four ships. After 14 months, on June 22, 1596, they managed to land on Banten Port. It was the early point of the Netherlands coming to Indonesia. VOC was established on March 20, 1602, was a Dutch company which had monopoly for trade activities in Asia. It was called the East Indies because there was also VWC, which was the West Indies Trade Union. This company was considered the first company to issue shares. Although VOC was actually a trade board only, but it was special as it was supported by the Netherlands along with particular facilities. In the 17th and the 18th century, the East Indies was not directly ruled by the Dutch government, but the Dutch East Indies Trade Company, Verenigde Oost-Indische Company or VOC. VOC has got monopoly rights on trade and colonial activities in the area from the Dutch Parliament in 1602. The headquarters was in Batavia, which is now known as Jakarta. Through Batavia, VOC expanded its influence to various regions in Indonesia. The expansion went along the implementation of trade monopoly. With the military power and defensiveness skill, some regions were bought to VOC. After ruling Batavia, VOC spread its political influence in Banten Kingdom. Then VOC moved to the east and weakened Mataram Kingdom in Central Java through Giyanti Agreement and Salatiga Agreement, while in Makassar, VOC successfully expanded its political influence through Bongaya Agreement. In 1619, when VOC ruled Java, Onrust Island, and its surrounding areas, including Bidadari Island, defense fortress were made. It is because the island was always busy with ship loading and unloading at that time. Unfortunately, the fortresses in Kepulauan Seribu were beaten by the United Kingdom in 1800. The long history of the East India's government ended with the implementation of ethnic politics. It threatened the East India's administration because ethnic politics could create educated people. Well, listener, that ends today's miscellany on VOC on Java Island. I'm Hernita. Thanks for listening.
Meet again tomorrow with another miscellany on Indonesia.
Music Corner, presenting various kinds of Indonesian music and songs from the Voice of Indonesia.
Hello, listener of RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia, wherever you are. Welcome back with me, Daulat Pane, in Music Corner, a musical segment which introduces you to Indonesian original music, either traditional or modern ones. In today's edition, I present you a music group, Voiceless and Solastic, that is well known as V&S. A quality work which is presented by the creative soul of the group of the young man, clearly illustrated in the single Cinta Cinta Cinta, or Love Love Love. This song tells about a polite apology to her lover that he cannot reciprocate his love. By taking a brief pop jazz, the song is still cagey. Well, listener, let's listen to a song entitled Cinta 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 by Voiceless and Solastic, or V&S. Here is the song. Voiceless and Solastic is not just a band's name, but it is also an expression of heart. By taking the meaning of not much spoken word and overflowing soul, this name has become the voices of Vidya Ayu, the lead vocalist, or more fondly known as UAV, Jeremy Jordan, keyboardist, Edgar Rumpas, drummer, Charaka Hartawan, guitarist, and Tegara Maulana as bassist. Formed on January 12, 2008, VNS carries pop as its main breath and soul, and jazz, fusion, blues as a reference. Early in its formation, VNS has three vocalists, Kiana, UAV, and also Dio. Like modern young people, they are using the internet media such as MySpace, Facebook, and Twitter as their promotional media. Then it can be said that VNS has never been on stages at school's arts shows or performing arts in Jakarta. The formation of VNS becomes more solid with the presence of vocalist UAB and four other personnel. Well, listener, now let's listen to the next song, entitled Hidup Tanpamu or Life Without You by VNS. Here is the song. VNS music, which is in the opposite of the euphoria of the genre of music that is dominating the current music industry, VNS is present confidently with dedicating their best. An alternative option that could refresh the color uniformity of music, which is nearing a saturation point. Well, it's now to conclude our musical program for today. Let's listen to the last two songs entitled Warnamu and Bukan Dirimu by VNS. Happy listening and sampai jumpa. Bye-bye.
yang baru yang bisa membuat jiwa bagai hampa dan rindu. Kau sentuh entah dari mana hampa itu, oh Tuhan, ingin coba ku isikan dengan cinta dari jiwanya. Oh, hayalku tentangmu ingin coba ku merengkuh hangat warnamu dan indahnya putihmu. Oh, 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 tolonglah siapa yang bisa sampaikan padanya tentang rasa yang coba kuasai jiwaku. Akhirnya jadi begini, cinta kita sulit menyatu, hati pun susah untuk berpadu. Entah bagaimana kisah cinta kita, akankah kalah menyatu, hanya ada kau dan aku. Oh, hayalku tentangmu ingin coba ku merengkuh hangat warnamu dan indahnya putihmu. Oh, 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 tolonglah siapa yang bisa sampaikan padanya tentang rasa yang coba kuasai jiwaku.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia.
Informing, connecting, dignifying.
RRI World Service, Voice of Indonesia in Jakarta, presents actual news and information as well as entertainment.
You can listen to our broadcast every day on frequencies of 15150 kHz, 9525 kHz and 11785 kHz for English program, or listen to audio on demand at en.voi.co.id. Send your criticism and suggestions to en.voi.co.id or send your letter to Voice of Indonesia, RRI World Service, Jalan Medan Merdeka Barat, No. 4 and 5, Jakarta, or P.O. Box 1157, Jakarta 10011, Indonesia. And join us on Facebook, Voice of Indonesia, and Twitter, VoI Indonesia.